Before I start the program today, I want to take a moment to acknowledge 9-1-1. 23 years ago, Osama bin Laden effected the most vicious attack on our soil since Pearl Harbor, killed nearly 3,000 innocent civilians, and brought the American economy to a standstill. It was a wicked, vicious attack, and many lost their lives, and we can never forget. We can never forget that we must be vigilant, never forget that we must be aware that there are enemies out there who want to destroy our country, and we must never forget the brave first responders, the firefighters, the police officers, the EMTs, who ran toward the danger, many of whom lost their lives trying to save the lives of others. We must never forget. We will never forget. And this is why we need a military that is second to none in the world. This is why we need dedicated intelligence apparatus in our country that can figure out what people want to do and plan to do to harm us and to harm the American people. And this is why the American people ourselves have to be vigilant. If we see something, say something. To be aware, we've got a lot of people in our country now who mean to harm us as a result of the open border policy of the Biden administration. We have many people in our country who want to harm us. And we don't need to be paranoid, but we do need to be circumspect. And the Bible tells us to do that, walk circumspectly in the world. So let's pray for all of those folks out there who were affected by 9-1-1. And let's pray for our entire country that it may never happen again. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this great nation, the United States of America. Thank you that the intention to bring our country down failed on 9-1-1. But Lord, we know that there are still those in our own country, sadly, and around the world who would love to see America fall. Help us to stand up, Lord, and we know that the key to standing up, the key to maintaining this great nation is not in our military and it's not in our economy, not that those things are unimportant. They are important. They're very important. But the real key is our relationship with you. Blessed, protected, and strong is the nation whose God is the Lord. And Lord, may we always be a nation that acknowledges that you are the ultimate author of our liberty and our rights, and that you are the ultimate designer of this wonderful constitutional republic that we have. May it be preserved until Jesus comes. And Lord, bless all of those, the family members, those who are still alive from 9-1-1, but who have been injured and affected with sickness and disease. Lord God, comfort them, touch them, heal them, and help us as a nation never to forget their heroism. Some even civilians who sacrifice to try to save the lives of others. May we never forget them. They embody the American spirit. They are the true representatives of who we are as a nation and what we stand for. Lord, may it ever be so that America remains the land of the free because we are the home of the brave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio, the podcast. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. It is a pleasure to be coming to you. Frankly, folks, I am recording this immediately following the debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. I wanted to wait until the debate was over, watch it all, and be able to bring you my analysis rather than talk about issues more broadly and sort of leave you wondering, well, what did I think about the debate, or having to wait a week before knowing? So now you get it right off the presses, okay? And it is my pleasure to bring it to you. First of all, I want to thank you for your support for American Family Radio, your support for the American Family Association, your support for this program. We appreciate it. Please be sure to tell your friends that I am back on AFR on a podcast, and that it can be heard every week on Wednesdays. Most of the time on Wednesdays it is posted. Of course, I tape it just before that so that it's fresh. You won't get stuff that's a week old, as is the case today. I mean, you're going to hear this on Wednesday, but it will be immediately following the debate, because I waited until the debate was over to bring it to you. Thank you for your support for this network and for all the ministries of the American Family Association, because we could not do it without you. So God bless you. Continue to pray for us, because America needs this network now more than ever. There are few places you can turn to get biblical worldview news and analysis. The stories that are important to us, an approach to those stories that are important to us as Christians, and obviously answers, suggestions, inspiration about what we can do in order to turn our country and culture back in the direction that would be pleasing to Almighty God. So we can say of America, blessed is America because her God is the Lord. And that's been the key to our success, folks. And that will be the key to our success in the future. I wish that had come up during the debate. It did not. And that was one of the reasons why I ran for president, to try to make sure that it did come up in the debate. But eventually, that is the issue, whether people acknowledge it or not. That is the issue. Is America going to be a godly nation, or is America going to be a godless nation? Okay, let's get into what happened. Well, the first comment I want to make is this, folks. Oh, and by the way, Pastor Jeff Shreve, dear friend and colleague here on American Family Radio, I will be preaching for his church in Texarkana this month on September the 29th. So please be sure to join us at First Baptist Church of Texarkana. That's 3015 Moores Lane in Texarkana. And I will be preaching two services, Sunday morning and I think Sunday evening, if I am not mistaken. But anyway, you can go to, that's right. I will be preaching 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning and 6 p.m. Sunday evening, and there will be two separate messages. So they're two entirely different services. I won't be preaching the same message in the morning and in the evening. So please join us and my dear friend, Dr. Jeff Shreve, on Sunday, September the 29th, at First Baptist Church of Texarkana for Sunday morning services and Sunday evening services. Looking forward to being with him for those great services. All right. First of all, with regard to the debate, it really would have been nice if Donald Trump could have debated Comrade Kamala Harris, but he didn't. He debated this fabricated, remade, reconfigured, fake, false person who all the advisors said, "Now you've got to come off the Marxism." In fact, Donald Trump called her a Marxist. She never responded. She never responded. He mentioned the fact her father's a Marxist. You would have think she would have said, "Well, look, my father was a professor at Stanford University, but let me make clear, I am my own person. I do not agree with Marxism in any way, shape, or form, okay? I do not subscribe to it in any way, shape, or form." So just forget that, because it simply is not true. I'm an American. I believe in liberty, not Marxism. But she didn't. She passed right over it. And you know, to me, that means that he struck a nerve there, and she didn't want to respond to it. Because, you know, silence is consent, right? The fact that she said nothing about that. She might say, oh, talk about extreme. Yeah, well, she's the extremist. But at any rate, so that just the person who debated Donald Trump is not the Kamala Harris that we've known. This was the prefabricated. I guess they gave her acting lessons because, I mean, she was a different person with different policies than anything we've ever seen before. So will the real Kamala Harris please stand up? Which one is the real Kamala Harris? The one we've gotten to know over nearly 4 years. Not this fake, fabricated person who they dressed up to appear at a debate in order to try to hoodwink the American people into electing her president of the United States. Now, the thing, folks, that ought to disturb us and drive us to our knees in prayer before God. You want to know what we need to be praying? We need to be praying, Lord, expose the falsehood. Expose the lies. Expose the fakery. Expose it so the American people can see the person she's trying to present is not who she really is. Oh, God, let her be exposed for who she really is. Because the woman really is a Marxist. But here's what disturbs us and why we really got to pray. Most Americans don't follow things closely enough to know that there was a distinct difference between who she presented herself to be at this debate and who she's presented herself to be over the last 4 years. So the Americans who say, well, you know what, I guess I ought to get involved enough to know who to vote for in the election, and let me check out this debate and see what's, and they'll watch, they would have watched her in the debate and say, well, you know, she sounds reasonable. She sounds moderate. She sounds like a person who could handle the presidency. She seemed sharp. Because they don't know anything about her real track record. She wants to do something about the border. What? Really? Folks, I'm sure it took all that Donald Trump had to not say, woman, you are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, and the truth is not in him. Yeah, I know. Most people probably would have thought. But folks, the woman just lied from the moment she opened her mouth. I have to give it to her. She lied well. She lied smoothly. I'll tell you what. It was such a marked difference between the way she's presented herself in the past that you have to believe that she had supernatural help, and it certainly wasn't from God, because God doesn't help people to lie. So where did it come from? The devil. That's right, I said it and I mean it. Satan, because Jesus said he's a liar and the father of lies. In other words, there's nobody who lies better than he does. You want to be taught how to lie? That's who you want to go to. And she got taught well. And whatever time she spent with these advisors who were as equally inspired by the devil, I guess, as she was, and taught her how to lie. So the first issue to come up, let me try to get through these issues. Obviously, I'm not going to cover them all, because Obamacare, there really wasn't much of a discussion. Climate change really wasn't much of a discussion. So I'll try to give emphasis to the things I think got the most emphasis and give you my commentary on it. First of all, on the economy, she was asked, are people really better off now than they were 4 years ago? Or can you say that people are better off? Well, she ignored that. She ignored that and went off into, she has a passion for small business. From where? Her Marxist father? she wants to do a giveaway. I think it's $50,000 to small businesses to help them get started. I mean, look, talk about being a Marxist and a socialist. Her economic program is giveaways. We want to give $25,000 to first-time homeowners. We want to give $50,000 to small businesses. We want to give $6,000 to young families. I mean, in other words, let's just raid the treasury and start giving away money. If we can't win the votes with intelligence and competence and ability, let's win it by buying people. Because, folks, that's what this boiled down to. That's all she had to say. Of course, she accused Trump. Tax cuts for billionaires. Folks, I've got news for you. My taxes are a lot higher under Joe Biden than they were under Donald Trump. I mean, we are feeling the squeeze. Not only that, but remember, they hired, 80,000 new IRS agents? Well, I don't know whether they've gotten them all yet, but they're in the process so that they can go after all of us to make sure that they squeeze us out of every dime they can. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you know, she bragged about having spent $1 trillion on climate change. And you know what my thought was? Has the climate changed? We spent $1 trillion on climate change. Has the climate changed? Because that's what it's all about, right? It's all about changing the climate. We're going to bring the temperature down. We're going to, because all of this violent weather, folks, human beings have been recording weather on this planet for maybe 100 years. We have no idea the weather patterns that this climate has demonstrated over the last 6,000 years of human history. No idea. And this thought that somehow, look at the violent weather we're having. Well, what weather were we having 1,000 years ago? I mean, these people, basically what they really want to do is play God. And the only thing is, they want to play God with your money and mine. So, billionaire tax cuts. I mean, look, here's the reality, folks. When you cut taxes for everybody, the tax cuts are going to naturally redound more heavily to the very wealthy because, of course, they're paying a lot more of their income in taxes. But guess what? When the wealthy, when the investors, when their taxes are cut, they invest that money. When the taxes on corporations are cut, they can lower their prices or keep their prices lower. The reality is, And the average American has more money to spend. That's why the economy was growing under Donald Trump. Does anybody look at the Donald Trump era and think, well, I did better, but that's not good enough because there were billionaires who did better too? No, all of us did better. But she hit him on that. I want to help the middle class. I mean, that's what they all claim. This woman, I grew up middle class. And Donald Trump grew up wealthy, and his father gave him $400 million. We've all heard that the idea of Trump's father lending him money to get started, and he turned that into a multi-billion dollar fortune. I mean, that's something for him to be grateful for and proud of. And she tried to, because in her heart of hearts, she doesn't like capital. She doesn't like business. She doesn't like investment. And she doesn't like people making money in her heart of hearts because she is a Marxist. So she also blamed Trump during the economy because Trump talked about, of course, the great economy that he created, but she also blamed him for the epidemic. And then launched into the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. And you know, this is what they call J6, the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. I mean, what a bunch of hokum. Boy, that's not a wagon full of horse manure. That's a whole tractor trailer full. First, I don't even want to get into the details on that. But as I've said before, there are 330 million people in this country. We have a tripartite government with three co-equal branches. There was one event taking place, which was the certification of the Electoral College vote. And you mean to tell me that the delay of that vote or demanding the delay of that action or demanding that it go back to the legislatures, that there be an investigation, that we look at those electoral votes on the basis of the legitimacy of elections in certain places? You mean to tell me that somehow that's an overthrow of our democracy? That it's our constitutional republic, because we're not a democracy, but it's preposterous. But you know, look, again, they're liars, and that's what they do. And these people who are by the way, I never told you this. I was invited to go to that rally, and I could not go. My schedule simply would not permit it. If it had, I might have gone. But I wasn't, if I'd gone, I certainly didn't think, oh, yes, I want to go because we're going to overthrow the government. It was a Trump rally. And Trump was going to give a speech, a very important speech, as we prepare to see the Electoral College vote ratified or delayed or whatever was going to happen. But I certainly never thought, well, I'm not going up there because that's an insurrection. And I guarantee you, of the tens of thousands of people who showed up, none of them showed up because they thought they were going to overthrow the government. And what happened, the debacle of going into the Capitol, whether the guards, Capitol Police let people in and ushered people in. And I'm not doubting that there were people there who had some nefarious intentions and some wrong ideas. But the fact of the matter is, nobody was killed by that crowd. And the only person who died was Ashley Babbitt, shot in the face by a police officer. And in my humble opinion, he should have gone to jail for that because there was absolutely no reason to kill that woman. None. He got off scot-free. And the left thought it was a great thing to kill an Air Force veteran who had served her country honorably and was there because she thought she had a grievance. And I think she did have a legitimate grievance, and maybe it got expressed the wrong way, but she didn't deserve to die for it. Let's leave that aside for the moment. During the talk about the economy, she claimed that Trump sold us out to China by selling chips to China and helped China win the competition on AI and some kind of quantum technology that she was talking about. But, you know, this is, again, by the way, her husband, if you all got the last letter I sent out, if you didn't, go to our website, standamerica.us, and sign up for our letters and newsletters and communications. I pointed out her husband has deep ties to China. He works for a law firm that has a whole department dedicated to Chinese investment. His firm hires former members of the CPC, the Communist Party of China. And they have profound ties to Communist China. Joe Biden's family has received millions of dollars from Communist China, including a $1.5 billion deal. And she's got the nerve to suggest that Donald Trump is somehow he sold. Hey, folks, it just defies belief. But during the discussion on the economy, I think what might have been the greatest line, by the way, Trump actually said she's a Marxist. Her father is a Marxist. He actually said that. I was so glad he did. He could have gone further and said, and you know what Marxism is, right? It's communism. But he sort of ticked through the changes in our policies, and I think this may have been the best line of the debate. He said, I was going to send her a MAGA hat, and even she laughed. Now, it's interesting. I guarantee you the mainstream media won't cover that, because that was one of those Reagan-esque moments where, you know, I remember when Reagan and Mondale, where Reagan says, well, I am not going to make age an issue in this campaign. I am not going to exploit my opponent's youth and inexperience. And even Mondale laughed. I mean, it was a classic moment. And you know, people said that was it. Mondale lost because it was clear who the leader was. Well, when Trump said, I was going to send her a MAGA hat, even Kamala Harris laughed at that line. But it won't get the play it deserves, because to me, once again, it showed who had mastery of the situation. All right. Then they got to killing unborn babies, which they referred to as abortion. And she was accusing Trump, of course, of trying to take away a woman's right to choose, as they put it, women's reproductive rights and so forth. And Trump defended himself by talking about, no, we've turned it over to the states. Now, here again, folks, I really believe that not only President Trump, former President Trump, but we conservatives are missing a tremendous opportunity, because here's the one thing that never came up during that debate that somebody's got to begin to bring up to put them on their heels. And it's this, to simply say, I mean, he misspoke at first and said it was West Virginia's governor, but it was actually Virginia's governor, which he later corrected. They said, the moderator jumped into this and said, he brought up this idea that Virginia's former governor, Ralph Northam, said, well, you know, if the baby is intended to be aborted and born alive, then, you know, the doctor and the mother have to have a discussion to see what they would do. In other words, if we don't want it, just kill it or let it die. Now, the moderator, I forget this woman's name, but she steps in. No, I would just point out, I would just point out that no jurisdiction in America allows a baby to be killed. She didn't even understand the point. She's ignorant. The fact of the matter is, this has been debated in many states across the country. It was debated first in Illinois. It was brought up in our federal legislature, but of course it never got anywhere. What's called Born Alive Infant Protection Acts, which is late-term abortions where the baby is intended to be aborted, but somehow through the mistake of the doctors administering this baby killing procedure, fumble it, and the baby comes out alive. The Born Alive Infant Protection Act, which was first sought to be passed in Illinois, and I think is the law in Illinois, unless they've changed it, said simply, when that happens, there is an affirmative duty to administer medical care to that baby to save his or her life. Because now you're not talking about, as they would put it, their language, not mine, a fetus. You're talking about a child that is no longer in the mother's womb. Now you can't deny that there's a human being there, because there's ones lying there that you're looking at with your own two eyes. And the law in Born Alive and Protection Act would say, you cannot allow that baby to die. You must give it proper medical care to save that baby's life. Barack Obama opposed that. Ralph Northam opposed that. And all of these baby killing fanatics opposed that. So when this woman jumped in and said, nowhere in America is that acceptable. Well, the fact of the matter is, Democrats, Democrats, have been proposing that policy, allow the baby to die. That was what Ralph Northam was saying. It is okay to allow the baby to die. And by the way, that was Barack Obama's position when he was in Illinois. And as far as I know, he continues to hold it, because he said, and this is close to a quote, if not exact, it's close to a quote, if you allow the baby to live, you are frustrating the will of the mother and the doctor. So now we're talking about infanticide. That's how far these fanatics have gone. But we've got to talk about that baby. We've got to bring up the baby. We've got to say, so let me get this straight. If a woman is pregnant and she wants it, it's a baby. But if she's pregnant and she doesn't want it, well, then what is it? So in other words, this baby's life is defined by the whim of a person who decides, well, I want it or I don't want it. I want it. Oh, it's a baby. I'm having a baby. I don't want it. Just nothing but a glob of tissue. Get rid of it. Kill it. Then no matter how you define it, is it living or not? You can't say it's not living. It's multiplying. It's growing. Now, you know, he can express sympathy for women who have been raped and women who have been victimized by incest. But you know what you could say is what we conservatives are saying is we are ignoring the reality of that life, the same life process and development process that every single one of us went through in order to be the human beings that we are today. And we seem to want to turn a completely blind eye to that and act like, no. That has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with us because it's the same human development that you and I have gone through. Does that not deserve any consideration? And then turn it back around and say, well, you tell me, when is it a baby? When is it a baby? And whatever that is, can you still kill it? But, you know, that's me. I think we're on the defensive on this. And I think on the defensive, we lose on the issue. We lose on it. No. We're not trying to take away a woman's right to choose. We're not trying to take away women's. No, it's a state matter. Well, you know, I just think you're fighting the battle on their terms when you do that. So I don't know, you know, obviously for those of us who are pro-life, and by the way, because I do not agree that it's a state matter. I really believe that that baby has a right to live and ultimately it's a constitutional matter. But I know that as a practical matter, you're not going to get a constitutional amendment that recognizes the life of that baby and the right of that baby to live until the hearts of the American people are changed. That's why I argue we've got to make a case that changes people's hearts. I've likened this, by the way. Oh, my God. I can't believe how much time has gone by already. I liken this to how Americans once thought about slavery. It was what I call a moral blind spot. Well, it was a blind spot that the whole world had. Okay. So it's not surprising that Americans had it, too. Where we didn't understand the moral implications of slavery. Well, we all do now, right? I mean, all of us think, well, slavery is just morally wrong. It's just inherently wrong. So is killing an unborn baby. But sadly, people haven't gotten the revelation yet. So I would say on that issue, I don't think that Trump made any ground. And I think that the people who want to vote on that issue because they're committed to the killing of unborn babies willy-nilly, the people who believe that, I don't think anything was said that's going to persuade them otherwise. And I'm not suggesting, by the way, that Trump could have said anything that would have persuaded them otherwise. What I have suggested is if we want to try to persuade people otherwise, we've got to start making the case that this is a baby. And does that baby deserve any consideration at all, at any point as a human being? Okay, then they got into immigration and border security. Now, here again, folks. Right, because look, if you didn't know anything about Kamala Harris, you didn't know anything about her policies, you would think that Kamala, boy, if we elect Kamala Harris, she's going to do something about this open border. Oh, my goodness gracious. It boggles the mind to think that she actually tried to present herself as somebody who's serious about border security. Well, at Trump at one point, and again, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but Trump at one point, in fact, it might have been in his closing statement. I think it was where she says, you know, all the things she wants to do. That was in the closing statements. And we're going to bring down the cost of living and we're going to
to make Americans, American military, the most lethal fighting force in the world, and we're going to bring people together, and we're going to create an opportunity economy. And Trump just says, well, why didn't you do it? I mean, you've had 4 years. Why didn't you do it? At one point, Trump said, you know what? Let's end the debate. You go back to the White House, wake Joe Biden up and say, hey, let's do this stuff we're talking about. Let's do it now. Because she didn't do any of it. Like she didn't do anything about the border. And look, to me, the position of Kamala Harris, Comrade Kamala, on the border can be summed up in the fact that she brought border agents up to a Senate hearing and actually likened their behavior to the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, that tells you all you need to know, what she really thinks about border security. No sympathy. I went and visited the border when I was running for president. And I'll tell you, the thing that moved me most is the dedication and the commitment of these border agents to keeping the rest of us safe and their frustration with having to labor under administration that has absolutely no interest in that. No interest in border security. I mean, every day, don't we read? We pretty much read about some illegal immigrant committing some heinous crime, murder, rape, robbery, home invasions, taking over apartment buildings, you name it. I mean, torturing and murdering young girls and sexually. It's an abomination, folks. And she's a part of it. But not if you listen to the debate, she's not. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, this is the other thing, the irony. These people, these leftists, for whatever reason, are more committed to securing the border of Ukraine than securing the border of the United States of America. And we've spent $250 billion on that. But they have no interest whatsoever in securing America's border. They asked about flip-flops. If your values have not changed, why have your policies changed? And of course, she didn't address that. My values haven't changed. I'm still in favor of diverse sources of energy. Yeah, well, you know, let's face it. She was against fracking. And now she's for fracking. And she was against fossil fuels. And now she sounds like she's for fossil fuels. I'm an all of the above person. She'd say it that way. But that's really in effect what she said. I grew up middle class and I had a hardworking mother, and she wants to add 3 million homes to the market by financing and giving money to first time homeowners to buy homes. Now, the last time we jumped into the housing market and started trying to artificially create opportunities for people to own homes who couldn't afford them, we ended up with the crash of 2008. Which almost took the entire economy down. The woman is a Marxist. She is a socialist. She doesn't have a clue about what a free market economy does and how it works. And she'll bankrupt the. I mean, we're already bankrupt. But she'll certainly add another, who knows, $10 trillion to our debt. At some point, we're going to hit the wall on that. But she'll add, because, you know, with all these giveaways, we're going to give away this, we're going to give away that, we're going to give away. Trump also hit her and was during that discussion about the border on defunding the police. Remember, she was the one who bailed out these criminals and allowed them to go free. And they went out then committed heinous crimes. People had been locked up because they took advantage of the rioting and the looting and the lawlessness that went on in Seattle and in Minneapolis and other places when people were expressing their outrage over the death of George Floyd. And by the way, I mean, George Floyd's death was outrageous. But of course, they exploited it to the hilt. You know, I am never going to get through all of these, but let me, they also brought up this whole issue of truth and about the election. And Trump explained his views on the election. And of course, Harris implied Well, Trump's already a convicted, didn't Plachy said, you know, he's a convicted felon. And Trump pointed out, yeah, by the administration that has weaponized its prosecutorial authority. By the way, I haven't said this yet, but let me just say, I think Trump won the debate because anybody who's knowledgeable knows that he wasn't debating the real Kamala Harris. He won the debate because she had to be somebody else in order to have any chance. So she became somebody else. And she lied about who she really is, essentially. But in my view, he still won the debate. But for people who are not paying attention and have not been watching her up until now, that's what really concerns me. Because those people would have seen somebody who they thought, oh, yeah, man, she's good. Yeah, she's a good liar. They also, of course, brought up the Hamas war, Israel's war against Hamas, who attacked them on October the 7th. By the way, there's a big thing that's going to happen on October the 7th. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is giving out 1,200 flags to any church that wants them to commemorate the October 7th attack on Israel. My church is participating. If you want to learn more about that, just get in touch with us. You can email me at ewjackson@ewjackson.com. It's not my project, but I can refer you to the people who you need to be referred to if you want to participate in it. That's less than a month away. Of course, on that, she got hit on the Biden administration's unwillingness to support Israel fully. And Trump rightly pointed out that when Netanyahu was here speaking to a joint session of Congress, she was off at a sorority party, a sorority convention or something. And it's true. That's what she chose to do. And then she says, oh, yeah, I support Israel, and I am always going to stand behind Israel's right to exist. You know what? I don't believe that for a moment. And Trump, some people might think he went too far. I don't. He said, under these people, Israel will cease to exist if it's left to them. And I think he's absolutely right. I really do. I think he's absolutely right. Look, they're funding Iran. And what does Iran want to do? They want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And they released billions of dollars to Iran. That came up too, to finance their terrorism around the Middle East and the world. The Biden administration is financing terrorism, just like they're financing the cartels in South America. That's what the open borders has done. It's made the cartels that much bigger, that much stronger, that much more wealthy. They brought up Ukraine. Of course, Trump's position was, if I'd been president, Ukraine would never have happened because Putin wouldn't have dared do it. Putin, by the way, you all know, has said that he hopes that Kamala Harris wins the election. Well, of course, because he knows with the Biden administration, and the same is going to be true with the Harris administration, because she's a weak sister, because she's a Marxist and a globalist, and she's not going to defend the interests of the United States of America in any effective way, because it's just not in her heart to do so. If she, again, as Trump pointed out, if she wanted to, she would have already done it. And she hasn't done it. I mentioned Ukraine. Right? They bragged about how we've got to stop Putin from, you know, because Putin wants Poland, and he's going to want to march into Poland next. I don't agree with the World War II analogy that they're trying to use there, but I do. I agree entirely with Donald Trump. Weakness invites conflict. Strength creates peace. George Washington said it, and every president with good sense knows it, but apparently Biden and Kamala Harris don't know it. So Trump says he will resolve the Ukraine war when he becomes president-elect. Well, you can think what you want about that, but I think if anybody can do that, Donald Trump can. He's demonstrated an ability to accomplish things diplomatically that many presidents cannot. And that's because they know that there's strength behind what he is saying. Donald Trump's willingness to punish those people who oppose him. I mean, that's how he defeated ISIS. That's how he stopped the attacks on Americans by the Taliban, by telling the leader of the Taliban, in effect, by showing him a picture of his house, and in effect saying it without saying it, yeah, you kill one more American, and we're going to blow you up. Believe me, that's the kind of message that terrorists understand. They don't understand, oh, well, we'll be nice if you'll be nice. Which is, I mean, that's what the Biden administration apparently conveys, and that's why the Afghanistan debacle happened, because they're basically relying on the Taliban. The Taliban could care less. They, you know what they think? They think that strength is all that matters, and Americans are weak. That's what they think. And along comes the Donald Trump, and they say, well, not all of them are weak. Donald Trump might be, he might be a little bit unpredictable. Maybe we better trade lightly with him. I mean, Ronald Reagan had the same effect on Muammar Gaddafi, who was basically planning all kinds of terrorist plots. He is presumably the one who brought down, I think it was determined, he brought down that Pan Am jet. Ronald Reagan put a missile in his house, and all of a sudden, Muammar Gaddafi became a lot easier to deal with. And Trump hit them for leaving $85 billion in equipment in Afghanistan. Can you believe that, folks? $85 billion worth of our equipment left in the hands of the Taliban. I mean, it's unthinkable. Okay, they brought up race, and they hit Trump for pointing out that, you know, she didn't want to be black and she wants to be black. I don't know about any of that. I think it's a waste of time to go there. I said the same thing about Obama. Obama's just as much of European ancestry as he is of African ancestry. His father's African, his mother's European ancestry. But it's a waste of time to go there, because the moment you do, you get painted as a racist. So to me, he said, I don't care what she says she is. I was just pointing out that at one point she wanted to be one thing, and another point she wants to be another. And he's just pointing out her hypocrisy. And I understand it, but I just think you're better off not to go there. And so Trump didn't spend a whole lot of time defending that or wasting time with that. And basically Harris used that and other opportunities to say something else. Again, the lies, the hypocrisy. He wants to divide people. I want to bring people together. Folks, the Democrat Party is the party of division. They slice us and dice us on the basis of race and gender and even religion. Remember, if you're a Christian, you're an oppressor. If you're not a Christian, you're the oppressed. If you're a man, you're the oppressor. If you're not a man, you're the oppressed. If you're white, you're an oppressor. If you're not white, you're the oppressed. And they actually want to talk about division? I mean, are you kidding me? These people are the past masters of division. And look, you can't unite with people who don't share a common set of values. And these people are basically rejecting the common set of values that unite Americans and are trying to create a tribalist culture in which everybody kind of fights for the crumbs that drop from the government master's table. That's the kind of culture they're trying to create. A united America is one nation under God. We share a common set of values, a common set of ideals, but we don't share those with Marxists and socialists and communists. They're the ones who are dividing us. They're trying to divide us even from our past. They're the ones who want to tear down the statues of George Washington. They're the ones who want to accuse our founding fathers of just being a bunch of mindless racists. They're the ones who want to undermine the Constitution and diminish the Declaration of Independence. They're the ones who want to upset this set of common ideals that unites us. They're the ones who think we need two anthems, you know, the you got the white people's national anthem, and then you got the black people's. I mean, and they want to accuse Donald Trump of being of dividing us. It was just rich. It's just rich. They spent a little time on Obamacare, and I'm not going to waste time on it because it didn't really get that much attention. Climate change, I said they spent a little bit of time on that, accusing Trump of saying it's a hoax. Well, it is a hoax. It's a joke. We already covered that. And the closing statements, she painted herself as having, you would have thought it was John Winthrop. These people never talk patriotically. They never talk about love of America. But to hear her tell it, I want to create a shining city on a hill. I want an opportunity economy. That was her phrase. An opportunity economy. I want us to be, she said, when I was a prosecutor, I had only one client, the people. I intend to be president for all Americans. Oh, my goodness. You know who said that? You know who else said that? Joe Biden. How'd that work out for us? And you know who else said that? Barack Obama. We're not a nation of blue states and red states. We're one nation. I mean, he didn't mean a bit of it. And neither did she. So, I mean, it was a good debate, except Trump was not debating the real Kamala Harris. He was debating the fake Kamala Harris. And we just have to make sure she gets exposed. Now, look, let me just say, and again, he ended with the statement, you know, you have all these grandiose ideas. Why didn't you do them in the 4 years where you were with Biden in the White House? So, look, I want to encourage you folks. I have a project called Save America, Elect Donald Trump. This is my project. It's not a project of AFR. It's my project under my PAC, Stand America PAC. Go to our website, standamericapac.us, standamericapac.us. Check it out. Contribute. Help us. Because we're on a mission right now. Kamala Harris wants to get 92 to 95% of the black vote. If she gets 92 to 95% of the black vote, she could win Pennsylvania, she could win North Carolina, she could win Georgia. If she wins those three states, we're in trouble. I want to make sure that the black community has a full understanding of who Kamala Harris really is, and particularly Christians, about why they should not vote for her. So, we've got, at the time you're listening to this, we've got less than 60 days. I won't give the exact number. You may hear it more than once. Less than 60 days. We got to get it done. Help me to get it done. We're going to win. Not for Donald Trump per se, but for you and me and the American people. To help maintain what made America the greatest nation in the history of mankind. It was not the government. It was the principles, the virtues, the values of the people of this country, which begin with the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the foundational basis of this nation, and it has stood us in good stead for a quarter of a millennium, and it will take us on into the future if we will embrace it, preserve it, and defend it. And that's what this election is ultimately all about. Donald Trump just happens to be carrying the banner right now. But it's ultimately all about America and what we stand for. So folks, get involved, get engaged on every level. Vote. Go to the polls, work in the polls, work outside the polls. Support candidates that reflect our Christian values and our biblical worldview. And of course, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.